One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
We're still fighting for this title, and he's got to go to Middleburg and get something. I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we meet
then. Yes, everybody, we are live. My name is Stephen Howson, joined by Laurie Whitwell from that there, The Athletic. Don't say fuck or bugger, you fucking bugger. And we are going to be doing a quick transfer talk Q&A with what Laurie expects is going to be happening, what I expect might be happening, looking at some of the speculation and stuff. But before we get into that, we are brought to you by the good folks at The Athletic, and you can get 50% off if you click the link in the description, or if you go to theathletic.com/Howson, that's theathletic.co.uk/Howson. Building a right team, aren't you?
Oh, at The Athletic, yeah.
Genuinely right team, and some good podcasts come out as well. Hope there's a United one soon. That would be really good. Righty, let's get into it, shall we? You wrote an article the other day. United need to spend in January. What are you laughing at?
You know.
United need to spend in January with Haaland and Madison top of their list. Go on.
Yeah, so I wrote this after the City win, where I kind of felt that obviously the two performances against Spurs and City, great. Ollie did a really good number on tactical work, but then I just felt that it needed the point needed making, that actually you can't take your foot off the gas. Clearly the squad needs major work still, and January offers an opportunity to do so. The window clearly is a difficult window to do business in, but the vibe I was getting was that it would be too difficult. I kind of thought that was a bit of an odd one, just given that it's one of only two opportunities.
The vibe they were sending out to me basically in text was January is always difficult to do business, and I was like, is it though?
Well, that's it. It's the question. Listen, clearly, there's some players that will only be available in the summer because they want to see where the land lies. You know, they want to stay out the season. It'll be too difficult to get them out of clubs. But given it is only one of two opportunities each year to do business, you can't dismiss it, surely.
And don't start on the 1st of January.
Yeah, exactly.
You?
Yeah.
Right, let's
go to work then, lads. Yeah. Well, look at Liverpool, I suppose, you know, with the Minamino signing. I know that United were sort of linked with him once that got revealed as a Liverpool signing, but I'm told that I wasn't a starter. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty much sure that was someone at the Echo. I mean, I don't know that, but I'm going to speculate, and I think I'll be fine doing that. And Madison, do we think that's something that we can get done next month?
Oh, not next month, no. Yeah, I mean, I put it out there, didn't I? You know, January target Madison, but equally at the same time, I probably shot it down myself straight away. He's in contract talks. I think he'll sign a new contract for Leicester. I don't think that'll actually change his value too much, because I think already Leicester were going to say...
Isn't he on like a five-year deal already?
It's 2023, I think it runs out.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess add a year, maybe just bump his salary up.
Did he come from Norwich when he was in the Championship though? So I can't imagine he's on big beans.
I'm told that he's on about 50k a week, which is decent, you know, seriously, for a guy that's come from the Championship. But he was a record signing from the Championship for a player that hadn't played in the Premier League before. So, you know, they're going to give him a bit of wedge. And also the fact that, I can't believe I just said wedge.
It's Friday before Christmas. Have a rum if you want.
I went to Christmas markets last night. I had a bit of rum in me mulled wine.
We are live. So if you've got any questions... Let's not just throw like a single name, Sancho question mark. That's not a question. That's a player's name with a question mark. If you've got an actual question, throw it in there. Why is Kevin Keegan on the intro? Because it was one of the greatest meltdowns in the history of meltdowns. That's why. So yeah, Madison, I'm of the same opinion. I would absolutely kill for Maddison at Manchester United. I think he very much fits the bill. As we were saying before we went live, I think Haaland is the archetype of a number nine that Solskjaer wants. And the fact that we persist with this formation makes me think that he's got an idea of a number 10 in his head that none of our number 10s are. But I think James Maddison is. Do you think that's the same sort of vibe that he's trying to create a system now and then he'll get the jigsaw pieces as and when he can?
I think so, yeah. I think clearly you've seen, haven't you, in those games against Spurs and City, the kind of principle in perfect form, it worked to a T in those games, but clearly, you know, to break down teams with a bit of a deeper defence, it's going to take different qualities. Maddison brings that level of technical ability that we haven't really got in a player with the legs that he's also got. He covers a lot of ground also. You know, he practices free kicks. I've spoken to people about the diligence that he's taken to his game, you know, throughout, you know, from his young days at Coventry all the way through, and obviously up his loan spell at Aberdeen as well, which didn't go, you know, great from the get-go, but he sort of fought his way through. So I like his character. I know he's had his critics for the way that he kind of goes about things in certain ways, but I think fair play, you've got to have a bit of character about you. So yeah, I think he would fit totally with what United want. Whether they can get him from Leicester's another matter, you know, obviously.
United fan as well.
Maddison? Oh, is he?
I believe so. There's pictures of him wearing a United shirt.
Could be.
And he was at the United-Barcelona game at the end of last season as well.
Right, okay. Well, there you go.
The fellow we were talking about before we went on air, I walked past him on the way to the match, said hello, and he was like, oh. And I'm like, what? Looking around going, what? He's like, I'll text you. And I walked past him, and he just put James Maddison, and I turned around, and I'm like, oh shit, yeah, he's there.
There we so, go then. Okay, right, I didn't know that. No.
If you get a press conference for his unveiling, ask him, was you at the Barcelona game? You a United fan?
Everyone that age used to be United fans, didn't they? They grew up United fans. Yeah.
When we were good?
Yeah, basically.
Jesus. What other business apart from those big names? There's Kai Havertz's name's been thrown into the mix.
Yeah, so that came out this week in terms of concrete talks. It's difficult, isn't it, to pick your way through the various different links that come our way. You know, the club as a rule don't sort of tell you one way or the other, because if they say yes to one, or if they say no to one and then they don't say no to another, then, you know, you think, okay, is that what we're talking about? But I'm sort of independent of that. I'm told that he is sort of one that they are looking at. He's definitely on the list. It looks like a lot of money though from Leverkusen, 20-year-old.
You say that, but in the summer they did. In the summer they was like, we are talking to Maddison, Maguire, but we're very far apart in negotiation.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Fair enough. I suppose when it was clear and evident, you know, that they would sort of admit that. I suppose they just don't want to get drawn into sort of long discussions about certain players.
Mate, think about it. If you was the job at the press department at United, we get linked to 200 people in the summer.
Yeah.
Right. Can you imagine the phones? Because every journalist wants all 200. Technically, well, you know, some are just bollocks, but like, in theory, you could have every journalist from every nation wanting an answer on all 200 players. You'd have to employ 27 people.
Yes, it'd be impossible.
It'd be like trying to phone a helpline for BT or something. And be like, oh, yep, you're number 26 in the queue. Hang on. Another name brought up, Jadon Sancho. Think there's anything in that?
Yeah, definitely. They obviously looked at him last summer. I think we've discussed before, haven't we? You know, you've got your own information in terms of where Dortmund's heads were at that point. Sounds like they
big money.
Big money. Didn't really want to enter into negotiation, it looked like. So, yeah. But since then, obviously, he's had a bit of a falling out at Dortmund. It's not going quite as well. He's going his way on the pitch, really. But they're obviously having certain issues in terms of timekeeping, I guess. He's definitely one that they United like. I've got a sense a little bit more recently that maybe he's not like a priority signing. So, I guess you'd think that he'd need to be to commit that kind of money to him, but I guess we'll see. He's clearly extremely talented, so you know you can't really say no to a guy that's scoring that kind of goals and making that many assists.
I'm worried though, because didn't Dembele score about 6 goals, something like that, Ousmane Dembele, and then went to Barcelona for 130 million?
Yeah.
What makes us think that we're going to get Sancho for less?
I guess nothing really. It sounds though the 100 million thing seems to be a kind of consistent sort of valuation that's coming out. So I wonder if they've just basically said, listen, you clearly want to move on. We're happy for you to do that, but as long as we get, you know, the right money for it, then everyone's happy. And it seems the 100 sort of is that figure.
What do you see as the big plugs in the squad that need filling? because of all these players that we've just mentioned, from Haaland to Sancho, Havertz, Madison, they're all a bit attack-minded. And I would argue, okay, I'm not going to turn down reinforcements. I definitely think we need a number 10. I don't think that's any... We haven't got one that I think would be a first choice anywhere. Right winger, yeah, bring me one, happy. Bring me another striker, yeah, happy. But I think what we really need is someone in the engine room. The only name I've seen linked with us that looks like it's got anything to it, and I actually don't even know where this has come from, is the Sal Niguez one.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, he's definitely one that... there's a sort of funny tale from one of the early recruitment meetings when David Moyes took over, which is an example of the way that the system without Ferguson fell apart to begin with, which obviously he knew everybody and kind of had the respect and sort of had this sort of all-seeing eye. There was a recruitment meeting and that name, apparently he was available apparently for €8 million, I think it was, and it didn't get passed up the food chain because sort of internal kind of politics a little bit, I think. I think when it got to, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think when it got to David Moyes, I don't think he sort of, again, was not necessarily familiar with the place. It wasn't like it was right, definitely go and get him. Obviously, the attentions were elsewhere, but he's definitely... Well, there we go.
Deadline day.
He's definitely, Sol Niguez is definitely one that has been long sort of tracked, so it wouldn't surprise me if that had legs.
One of the signings that we got in the summer, Dan James... there's a very clear camp at the club at the moment amongst the fans. Is the ones who are patient and saying, let's see where it goes with Ole, and the ones that are just finding any excuse to just say Ole out. One of the things that I've seen levelled at Ole in the last week, which has shocked me, to be honest, and this is the internet, I shouldn't be getting shocked at my age, but I am, was we wanted Maguire last summer, so that Ole don't get a tick for that. Wan-Bissaka was the best fullback in the league, so he don't get a tick for that. And Dan James was a Giggs recommendation. So there's like, they just can't give him no credit whatsoever.
Yeah.
I kind of got told a little bit how the recruitment works at United, where it's a scout department, an analyst, the management team, which is the coaches and the manager, and then the financial team will go. And when all of them are in a line, we sign someone. If one of them's not up for it, we don't sign them. So even if the tip came in, the scout department's going to have to look at Dan James. The analyst team's going to have to look at him. The management team's going to have to look at him. The finance team's going to have to agree.
Mm-hmm.
Can he not get credit for any of those? I mean, I don't think that... You know, but let's just go on in first, actually, before we go on the right-back situation.
Can Ollie get credit for... The,
yeah.
Yeah, Ollie has to get credit because he's the one that's basically saying yes to it all. I think he's got quite a bit of sway in... As Jose did, really, up until that, you know, the summer where... They didn't anymore because they, you know, there wasn't the trust, I suppose, there. But Ollie is definitely the guy that decides ultimately who comes in. Because if he doesn't like the player, then he's obviously not going to play in the team, really. And yeah, I think in each instance, I think he has done his own work in figuring out that he definitely wants the player. Clearly, there'll be loads of recruitment meetings and loads of analysts and scouting reports and what have you. But he's, as you said, you know, obviously, it sounds maybe a fairly rudimentary thing to do, but he, you know, gives Giggs, that's hard to say, gives Giggs a text and sort of asks about Dan James quite a bit before, you know, the turn of the year, really. Same, obviously, with Maguire. Phelan knew him, obviously, from Hull. Mm. Wan-Bissaka,
believe... You've got match of the day, sound.
You've got match of the day. Also, apparently, there was a message into Neville who'd spoken to Ray Lewington about him at Palace. So there's a sort of, again, a little... Listen, they're not the...
Use the old boys' network.
That's it. Well, that's basically what Fergie would do, you know, and he'd use this leverage to then get the deals done. Obviously, that's different now. You know, Ollie doesn't have that cachet, or United maybe as a club don't have that cachet. So you obviously got to perhaps pay a little bit more in those circumstances. But I certainly think, you know, you have to give Ollie credit for that. The three signings that he brought in the summer are all first-team regulars. Mm. And all probably in the top five performers, maybe not. You know, maybe you've got McTominay and Rashford as well.
You're not far off, though.
Maguire probably still hasn't quite hit the heights that you'd hope for that kind of money, but equally he's come in and spread more security, I think, than anything, and that's what Ollie wanted from him. And as you said, and Wan-Bissaka, you know, the tackles that he makes are incredible.
Against Everton last week, it was ridiculous. There was three in the same spot in the box where he's gone to ground. And I remember saying to the lad next to us, I was like, do you know what? If he gives away four penalties this year, I'm fine with that. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. His timing and the judgment and obviously just the execution of it. Yeah, Richarlison was obviously, he didn't really have much hair, but he was pulling his hair out. You know, the fact that he kept getting the same tackling on him, and you're kind of thinking, how does he do it?
How does he do it? It's frightening because we all know he's going to do it as well.
Yeah. And I actually like that, you know, seeing a defender defend. You know, I accept that perhaps going forwards, he needs to improve his game. The crossing is frustrating at times, but I do feel like you can add that. And obviously, in the City game, we saw the value of a defender being able to defend, although, you know, he was obviously the slightly deeper one that played Jesus on side in the first half and maybe should have blocked Otamendi for the goal. But that being said...
poor at corners, full stop, actually.
Well, yeah. As you'll see, a piece on the Athletic.
Oh, really? Have we got it? Is it titled,
beautiful,
like, we've conceded more beautiful, goals than...
Hang on, beautiful link there, Steve.
De Gea has conceded more goals from corners this season than all by Norwich and Villa. I wonder where I got that stat from. The thing that does frustrate me about the transfer window is that supposedly we analysed 802 right-backs. Or was it 300? Whatever, it's a ridiculous number. I think it's 300. Let's say
804 or something like that. I think I'm gonna slightly stick up for the club in a sense here, in that I don't think it was a case of we're going to look at all these 804 right backs and they are all potentially going to be United standard or anything like that. I think that was perhaps the biggest pool, and it was a number to sort of say, listen, we do have eyes everywhere, but I accept definitely you don't need to look at 804 to find Wan-Bissaka.
I might do it right now. I might fire up Football Manager right now if I'm going to fucking do it. I'm going to put Footy Manager on right now. I'm going to start a new game and I'm going to see... I'm not. It'll take too long. Is there even 800... Well, there's not.
Well, how many clubs? Yeah. Well, there's 92 clubs in the Football League. You're going to have to go some, aren't you, to get to 800.
Yeah, you're going down to the Dutch 4th Division. Mm. Now, okay, we've seen that the lower leagues in France, but below the Premier Division, have had good players that have come out from there, that have gone on stuff... The Championship's had some excellent players that have gone on and been very good players. I think there's definitely value looking below the surface, looking off FIFA, if you like. But 802, and you didn't find one for 50 grand at like Drolsden or Kettering or somewhere that you're like, he's not that level. He might not be this level,
yeah,
but he's in the middle somewhere. Would that not be a good backup? Pay him like a grand a week. Guy's off his fucking tits, delighted. Is that not a better commercial option than having, like, I don't know, Phil Jones around?
Well, you can't just get rid of Phil Jones, I suppose, can you?
Because no one's paying
him
that money.
He signed a new contract.
For starters.
I feel sympathy for Phil Jones, but there we go. Might be in a minority. I guess I see what you say. I would like to see United pull a rabbit out of a hat, really, a little bit. You know, it's difficult with them because obviously as soon as they get into the bidding, you get an extra zero added on, as we saw with Sean Longstaff last summer. But I would quite like, you know, a Leicester sign Ricardo Pereira for 25 million, I think it was. He's outstanding as a right back, you know, going forward and in defence. So,
But what was Maris? 750 grand?
Oh, yeah, even like €400,000. Yeah. Which is crazy, but then obviously he came into a Championship and then was able to... He was sort of in and out of the team, not to begin with, because he did score goals in the Championship, but in the Premier League, he was sort of in and out of the team a little bit that season when they got, you know, the great escape. So you obviously have to give these players time then to flourish. So United are in a difficult position where they can't afford that. Although, I mean, to be fair, Dan James was in that situation. Nobody expected Dan James to come and do what he's done, but he's kind of by necessity done it. So maybe United now are at a level where they do have scope to allow that.
Someone in backup, like... We're all right in centre-half. It's probably the only position we're all right in. Are you telling me there's not a striker that you go, you know, someone maybe a bit older, 28 or something like that, you go, he shouldn't be playing League One, maybe, or he's got good feet on him, or he's got ridiculous cardio, or just something where you go, do you know what? If everyone's injured, it's better than having nothing. Let's just take a gamble on him. I can't believe that there's nothing that United think that they can do with that. Like, 802, and you... This is what annoys me. 800 and whatever, and you spent 50 million on the one in the Premier League. Like, there wasn't even one in Poland. You know what I mean? Like,
well, he obviously wanted the first summer, wouldn't he? He wanted to have a bit more security, I suppose, about knowing that these players would be able to. You know, he's seen him in the Premier League. He can definitely play in the Premier League. Yeah. Whether he can cut at United, I suppose, is a slight question. But clearly, you know, he's fine, really, isn't he? So, yeah, I think he just wanted that extra sort of level of security, knowing that, you know, some of these deals perhaps are a bit more difficult to get done. You know, if you don't have a sporting director, technical director. Mm.
Do you think there's a Brexit policy going on at United?
No.
Let's say yes for a laugh.
Okay. Go on, you do.
Was it just coincidence that all the players that we signed were British last year?
Listen, maybe. You could look at it in two ways, in that Ollie clearly wanted players that, again, as I say, knew the league, that he knew, that he was able to sort of find out extra stuff about. But I don't think that then means that it's exclusive to those areas. For example, Mario Mandzukic, if they'd have perhaps been quicker on it, that's, I do think the speed was basically the defining factor there, rather than ultimately him saying, actually, no, let's not take him, because obviously Lukaku went out and it was a close thing to get Mandzukic in. So, you know, he's never played in England before, so he would have been one that's, let's add a bit of experience. Yeah, he's not going to be the guy that leads our line for years, but he can definitely do a job and maybe score a few goals, you know, tap-ins or whatever that other players might not have
seen. Yeah, or give someone a night off.
Yeah, exactly.
Which
exactly.
is what I think some of the lads probably need at some point. Is Haaland being born in Leeds a factor, don't we think, then? Keeping it full break?
Oh, right, yeah, I heard this last night. I think he spent quite a lot of his years in Leeds, didn't he?
I reckon he speaks probably really good English.
Yeah, yeah. He does have a Norwegian accent, though, doesn't he? I think I've heard an interview and he speaks very minimal words, so it's difficult to definitely figure out. But to be honest, I mean, I think the major factor there clearly is that Ollie knows him. You know, from Mulder, he signed him, scored, you know, decent number of goals for them in that season. He probably doesn't need a load of scouting reports, although they have been sending the scouts over there. They've been keeping up to it.
I like the fact he's played for him.
I like that.
I think that that's such a minimal risk.
Yeah.
That you know the character of him. Ollie's looked at this squad over a year and he knows that guy and he's gone, that's what I want. I think that's such a low risk transfer. Mm. Is there, what shock could Ollie come to? Well, I didn't get what I thought I was getting. I don't think there's any.
You can't imagine that he'd suddenly change and, you know, oh, I didn't expect that. You know, he knows one, the character, absolutely, and two, just the style of play that he's got. He knows how to get the best out of him, you'd think.
So I am excited by that, even though, you know, I don't think he's the names that we've signed in recent times. The fee. So The Athletic have done a few posts that I've seen from different writers that mentions this £17 million release fee. Mm. Is that a Red Bull-only release fee?
I don't know. It's so difficult to figure out release clauses. I did a story on, I mentioned this in my Q&A today, on N'Golo Kante, had a release clause obviously from Leicester. And that release clause, for example, was, I think, 20 million. But then if there was two clubs bidding or more than two, it was whatever the highest bid was. So basically, there was a Chinese club that started bidding for him and he was never going to go there. But it just was, you know, increased the price to 32.5. So Leicester, in the end, not a bad sort of sale price, really. But they had to sell him. They couldn't like then reject the 32.5. They had to sell him at that price. So it,
technically, you can, because that's the problem with the release clauses. It's not like FIFA where it's done. If Leicester refused, they would have got taken to the court of arbitration sport, and it would come outside the transfer window and they'd be like,
oh, right. Okay. Well, I suppose Leicester's thought
they're unenforceable in England.
I'd be intrigued to see if anyone said no to, and obviously the Arsenal and Liverpool thing,
that's the proof of it.
Yeah,
like it's 40,
but was that not a was that not a dispute over the actual wording of it, where it was, from Liverpool's perspective, they only had to negotiate once somebody had bid that amount?
It's either a release clause or it's not a release.
Yeah, well, I think somebody messed up there in the wording of it.
No. Okay, I thought it was a release clause. Right, so someone's doing exactly what you said don't do and just writing a single player name, so that's getting ignored.
Ruben Neves.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. We're ignoring it.
All right, ignore it. Okay. I mean, Ruben Neves is a player I really like. Do you think there's much in that? I've not heard anything.
I really like him. He's gone a bit quiet, hasn't he? I don't know if he's hitting the heights at Wolves this season as he has previously done, but he's clearly a very talented player.
John Gallagher says, come on, Steve, when have you heard good English spoken in Leeds? Yeah, that's a valid point. Chris says, we need to sell Young, Matic, Mata, Andreas, Shaw, Jones, and of course Pogba. We haven't spoken about Pogba. Mm. What's your gut feeling telling you?
Well, Raiola today has, I guess, you know, changed the landscape a bit. I did a piece this week where I basically said that I think United probably should, you know, cut the cord and cash in on him, obviously, if they get a decent offer. Obviously, what that actually figure is anyone's, you know, how long's a piece of string, and whether or not Real would actually do it or anybody else. But obviously, Real seems to be the kind of side that most likely to buy him. But Raiola's sort of statement today has kind of changed the landscape a bit. It makes me think, I wonder if something's gone on behind the scenes where it's you know, Real have given them the word, listen, we can't buy him next month. And obviously, Ollie this morning was absolutely emphatic, saying that he won't go. I think he said 99.99%. So maybe there's, you know, small wiggle room in that. You're saying there's a chance?
I think...
Dumb and Dumber style, but...
I wonder if there's something in this illness thing that both him and Gomez have got, and that Lukaku seem to have...
It's going
summer.
Around, is it?
Yeah, is it like
contagious?
I'm trying to leave itis or something? I am suspicious. I mean, I don't believe everything the manager says in a press conference, and I don't think anybody should. I think there's always an agenda and a smokescreen and a reason behind it all.
Which I actually would totally be fine with. You know, he's looking out for himself and the club, so that's, I get that. Why would you let everybody in on all the secrets that go on? You know, it's not to your benefit. Why would you do that? I agree with you. I think the length of time that Pogba's taken to get back from this ankle injury, which has never been properly diagnosed, and Solskjaer decided not to divulge today. He was asked about it. What exactly was it? Has caused some sort of questions to be asked. And then the illness thing was another curious episode. But Pogba is back at least in training.
JW says, if we were to sign a midfielder, who do you think most likely to join? I mean, it's throw a dartboard at a map, isn't it?
Yeah. It's actually doing the completion of it. There's players out there that I would quite like at United. I like Jack Grealish. You know, I know he scored at Old Trafford. It's not just solely based off that, but I think he's a technical player. I don't know whether he'd want to leave Villa, but listen, if they go back down to the Championship, I don't think he's definitely got ambition to play in the Premier League and play higher. So that's not really a question. But yeah, whether it would happen, I don't know. But I don't know. Yeah, it's difficult to say. I'm sorry.
That's my response to the. To the stuff over Haaland as well, where people are like, why are we buying a striker when we clearly need a midfielder? Well, I totally agree we need a midfielder, but if he's available,
yeah,
and you get him now before he ends up at like Dortmund or Bayern Munich or somewhere where you're just probably not going to get him. Like, if he's like, we signed Robin Van Persie and we had Wayne Rooney, Berbatov, Chicharito, and Danny Welbeck, and Fagan's like, I want another striker, and they let him. And it turned out all right.
You need goals. You know, you can't, as you know, strikers are the most expensive position on the pitch for a reason, because they, you know, goals win your games. It's obviously a stupid thing to say, but it's a fact. And Greenwood has been brilliant in his cameos that he's had. His finishing is absolutely scary, but you can't sort of rely on him. And also, I think if you have another player in there that's sort of challenging the likes of Anthony Martial, the likes of Rashford, just to keep that level up, that'll energise them, surely.
Or even, like we said a bit ago, give them a night off.
Yeah.
This is a name that I've actually seen in the last week or so. If Pogba goes, we need Milinkovic-Savic. He's the exact same player, except he doesn't mind defending. Not really concerned if Paul leaves. At least he has high resale value. Milinkovic-Savic, that was
a
trending name
a
couple of summers ago, but I think I've heard a little rumour or whisper or two in the last... I'm going to say 5 days. That's a name that's come up, should we say?
Okay. Well, you know more than me. I haven't heard that one myself, but I haven't asked the question on that, to be fair. But I remember 2 years ago that they definitely had substance, didn't they? Yeah. Those stories. Yeah. So I haven't seen a great deal of him, so I'd be lying.
I thought you might have heard a little rumor.
Sorry.
Milinkovic-Savic was one. I'd someone just come up and said. I'll have to find out what the message was, but it was a name. I can't. It certainly wasn't a done deal.
Well, now you've mentioned it, I'll go and do some digging as well, and we'll figure it out.
Get it between the two.
Yeah.
We spoke about Kai Havertz, Adesh at the start of the show. Laurie said it's a done deal. He's coming on Friday.
Flying in from Stavanger.
Haaland is better than a Plan B target man. I would agree on that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's suggesting that.
Two comments, totally at odds there. Abhishek says Savic is tearing up Serie A, and Jacob says not into SMS. do you think that's the area that would solve the issues that we're all seeing at United in terms of creativity? A good midfielder?
Yeah, clearly, yeah. I mean, Lingard did really well in the City game in terms of receiving the ball on the turn and breaking quickly. And I think if he can get back to that level, he definitely is a decent option for United in that role, you know, on the counter. But clearly, you know, in main games, you probably need a bit more end product. You know, he hasn't, the statistics that he's had in the last sort of couple of years haven't reached that level.
No, I think he often plays in the big games and not the smaller games for the reason that he's better in the big games and not the smaller games. But he's not in the big games to be the match winner. He's in the big games to perform a very specific role, which I think he does excellent.
Yeah.
Question here from Stuart Rosser. I'll take this one. He says, what's up with the Emmanuel Dennis transfers, Club Bruges? I'll tell you what's up with them. That's the newspapers getting a bit of SEO in before we play them, and then they can do all their previews and stuff like that around the transfer. Thank me later. You see this happen all the time when we play a random team. They'll link us to one of their players. What was the fucker at Midtjylland called? Cisco. We was linked with him before we played them. Because we was playing them. I'm onto them. And also, now you're onto them as well.
And also they could do the pictures, the thong song.
Yeah. Emre Can. Now that was a name that was linked to. I think that would be a good signing if we was able to get
do
it.
You
think that's a January one?
Yeah, I keep hearing that one. I mean, that was certainly one that is, you could see them doing that deal. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, you don't think it would be a difficult one to do. So you can never discount it. I don't know. Personally, I wouldn't be that fussed about that.
I just think it's an extra manpower in midfield, and we definitely desperately need that. How do you see this Christmas period going? We've obviously got Watford coming up on the weekends, Newcastle Boxing Day, time for a bit of revenge. I think we need 3 points out of that one. Burnley, which will be a tough one just 2 days later on Saturday night, and then Arsenal on
New Year's Day.
Busy period. Mm. What are we getting out of those games?
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? How can you tell? I think Watford, they need to beat Watford, don't they? You know, you're bottom of the league.
I could argue you need 12 points out of that. If top four is a serious ambition.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, but then we said need to beat Everton as well. You know, with all those injuries and the Burnley one is one that I'm concerned about. As I said, with this piece on the set pieces, if you saw the way they scored against Newcastle, in swinging corner into that 6 yard box. Ashley Barnes and Chris Wood will just be all over anything that comes in there.
Sean Dyche is in analysis right now, going, lads,
get it in there.
This is like fucking sweet shop time. Have you seen this? Someone's going to just absolutely make De Gea their bitch.
Oh, God.
The fact it's 2 days after the Newcastle game on its own, the Burnley game is the one that I find the most standout possible fudge up in this.
Yeah, I could, you know, yeah. It's I'd love that would be a proper, if United could win there, that would be a proper performance. And
I think that would be
proper
like,
win.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I think under Arteta, we've got no idea. He'll be three games in himself by then. We've no idea what Arteta's going to turn up, but I'm honestly not, I know I'm going to get clipped up here, but I'm not scared of Arsenal and Arteta. I'm really not. I think they're so, okay, if he's coming with Pep Guardiola's philosophy, bring it on, because you're not doing that with Socrates and David Luiz.
You can totally see how United can win that game, can't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
About 400 ways. I think that the Burnley game would represent a lot of very positive, like, you're going to need grit, you're going to need to be able to be very good at set pieces, and we previously haven't. Yeah, I'm with you, man. I think Burnley, if you got 12 points in this Christmas period...
Oof, that's rocket fuel for the second half of the season.
I think 7 would be a win. Mm. One draw, one defeat, 2 wins. 50% win ratio coming out of it, 1 draw.
I'd be disappointed.
2 draws,
but...
yeah. 2 draws probably acceptable.
Mm. It's probably realistic. I'd be disappointed, but yeah, you're probably on the right lines.
Yeah, I think you've got to beat Watford. I think that's inexcusable. I think you've got to beat Arsenal. I think that's inexcusable.
Oh, there too. But you're slightly more worried about the Newcastle game.
Yeah, for some reason, I just think Newcastle have got a weird vibe about them where they could come and stuff us a draw.
Dubravka plays out of his skin.
Jonjo Shelvey.
Oh, he's been back in form, hasn't he, to be fair?
Loves a screamer. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Burnley. Burnley's the one I'm worried about. If you got 3 wins and you lost against Burnley... I'd be gutted, because you should go and beat Burnley.
Yeah.
And this, all for all the people's like, how the standards have slipped. You know what? They've always been a thorn in our side since they've been in the Premier League.
Well, they beat, was it their debut, Robbie Blake?
Yeah. Was that? I think it might have been Di Maria's debut game as well. And was it 0-0?
Was that what? Yeah.
Did they beat us under Fergie?
The 1-0 when Bobby Blake scored on the volley, that was under Fergie, yeah.
So it's a minging ground to go to.
The stadium shakes, like in the press bit. It actually, you know, it's that high up. I was there for the Arsenal game at the end of last season when it was a crazy game and yeah, shaking all over the place. When Arsenal, won, you know, Aubameyang won Golden Boots, that was the real quiz.
Interesting. Let's have a look at any more questions and then we'll quickly wrap it up. Do us a favour, if you've enjoyed this little Q&A that we've been doing, give it a like. You guys let us know in the comments, what are we winning out of the next four games? What do you think we can do? Can we do all of them? I'm with Laurie. I think the Burnley game is ninja.
Yeah. You look at United's record in terms of sequences, and obviously it was when Ollie first came in. So you're looking back to that for a kind of evidence.
But it doesn't count, remember? It
didn't count.
Interim doesn't count to anyone who's doing percentages.
I reckon 10 points is doable. 3 wins and a draw at Burnley. I think that'd be fine. That'd be, yeah, you go, fair enough.
Well, there'd still be few online, but
yeah.
I mean, there's few online when we win. Right, we are going to wrap it up there, but before we go, we are brought to you by the good folks at The Athletic. You can get the link in the description and get all of that good stuff. Sign up for The Athletic, 50% off your yearly subscription. Get it just for £2.50. That is theathletic.co.uk/Howson. And you can go and see more work by Laurie. Have you been doing a match day Q&A and everything, haven't you?
Yeah, 10 minutes after the games.
I've not managed to join in on one because I've always been like standing outside the ground as I've seen it pop up as a notification.
Pile in.
I was gonna message you on the last one saying you're coming on the podcast. I don't know what format it looks like in there, so I was like, I'll just leave it. But right, thanks to Laurie for joining us. Go and check out The Athletic. And preview's out tomorrow, and then I'll be on the watch along with Paddock over on Stretford Paddock on Sunday. We'll see you then. Laters.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.